How important is it for us to know that our sins have been taken away? It must be very important because the writer of Hebrews hammers at it over and over. Let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Thank you for walking through the book of Hebrews with me. I'm Glenn Schaefer. I want to welcome those of you that have been following us on our podcast or the YouTube channel. Thank you for subscribing and helping get the scriptures out. We're in chapter 10. This chapter is a pivotal chapter going through the book of Hebrews. You're going to notice here in the first part of this chapter, he's going to once again emphatically make clear that Jesus putting away our sin is so significant. Now, I know we know that as understanding we've been forgiven, but why is it so important for the writer of Hebrews to keep coming back to this ultimate sacrifice that Jesus paid it all for us? Well, let's jump in here and let's see how he approaches this as he writes to the Christians who had a Jewish background. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified, would have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. And that is the key. What takes away our sins? Why did the writer of Hebrews say in chapter 9 that he appeared at the end of the age to put away sin? What does it mean to put away sin? We're obviously aware that we sin. We're obviously aware that our flesh is always being drawn aside. Granted, as you grow and mature in the Lord, that becomes less and less, and then there's a flare-up, and then God uses victories in your life to show you that He is the only one that can help you and sustain you. But here, in this whole passage, the writer of Hebrews is trying to make clear this consciousness of sin, this guilt of sin, that nothing can wipe it away. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And he emphasizes this over and over. Now he begins, of course, again by saying, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. Once again, we see this term shadow, or it's a copy as he's talked about in the tabernacle, but it was a shadow. It was not the real thing. It's a reflection of what is to come. It's not the very image of the things. It's not the real image, even though it was helpful in bringing them to that which is real. It was the schoolmaster teaching them of their need. It says it's can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continue year by year make those who approach perfect. Even though those things were available year after year, they could not be made perfect. Now this word perfect is referencing sin being put away and our conscience being clean, our conscience being clear. How do we know that? Because keep reading. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? If it had accomplished and made them perfectly free from the guilt of sin, if it had been accomplished, then wouldn't they have stopped? Wouldn't they have known? Why do they keep coming back year after year? Well, now the commandment was to come back year after year, but they also was very much aware of the consciousness of their sin. And those sins they offered regularly that they were aware of, sins that they committed that they knew about. But in the Day of Atonement, these were sins that they were ignorant of, but they felt the conscience of it. They were so much aware of it. Now, I've got to tell you, we as believers need a revelation of the work of Christ, because Christ's blood removes us from our guilt and our shame and the consciousness of sin. So either we have not submitted our sin to the Lord, and we don't have a revelation of what He's done. I'm not telling you just because you're fully forgiven that you won't be quickened and feel a stir in your conscience when you do wrong, because obviously you will. That's the idea of going to Christ as our advocate with the Father. It's not that our sins are not forgiven, but we need to become aware of it so that our conscience is released. Now, there are those who would say, well, then don't even think about sin. We don't need to have a sin consciousness. We need to not only talk about your righteousness. Well, there's some truth in that. But that teaching has also led some people to not even repent and say repentance is not for Christians because Christians don't need to be sin conscious. Now, the consciousness we're talking about here is not sin consciousness, it's guilt consciousness. it's aware that they're guilty. Christ frees us from that, so we're not under the guilt of it, but we're aware when we do wrong, that's when we have an advocate. That's why John says, if I say I have no sin, I make God out to be a liar. But if I sin, then I'm able to confess to Him and He's just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So this is the same balance we saw in the holies of holies. They offered a sacrifice, atonement for the sins they were in ignorance. Christ's blood covers the sins I'm not even aware of, my past, present, and future sins. But they offered sacrifices to those sins that they're aware of. Now, when God makes us aware of something, that's where we just say and we confess it, own it completely, and He takes care of it through the same blood. That's the comparison. Now, they did not have awareness of ever being forgiven, meaning being made perfect. Otherwise, they would have not continued year after year. For He goes on to say here, for the worshipers, once purified, would have no more conscience of sins. Now, that means that we are to be free from any of the guilt consciousness of sins. We don't carry that with us. The blood of Jesus purifies and cleanses us completely. But He says, but in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away the sins. Why are they aware of their sin guilt? Because it can't take it away. That's what the chapter 10 is going to emphasize one more time, is the perfection of Jesus' body being offered. That's why it goes now into verse 5. Therefore, when He, talking about Jesus, came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. This is the Son saying to the Father, it's not sacrifices and offerings that you desire. You desire the ultimate sacrifice, and therefore you've prepared for me a body. For Christ, the eternal Son, to take on humanity in order that He might be able to satisfy the justice and the requirement for our sin. He says, you've prepared for me. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it was written of me to do your will, O God. That is what it was about. That God would be glorified, that the Son would come and glorify the Father by doing His will, is written in the volume of the book. Verse 8 says, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor have pleasure in them. He quotes that again, which is offered according to the law, of course. Then He said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first that He may establish the second. What does He take away? That old covenant, that He may establish the new covenant. That He may establish the second. Verse 10, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You're not only forgiven, you're sanctified, set apart. Those whom God predestined and chose, He called. And those He called, He justified. And those He justified, He glorified. The term sanctification means you're set apart as holy. He has declared you free from sin. Your sin has not been imputed upon you. It's not been laid upon you. Every time I say that, it gets to me. That my sin is not laid upon me, but it's laid upon Jesus. Wow, that's awareness that my sin is under the blood. In that sense, I'm not to carry any kind of consciousness of sin guilt. I know that I am accepted, I'm loved, and I'm forgiven. Oh, I'm not saying I'm sinless. I'm not saying that I won't fail. And when I do, however, I go with the same confidence. It's not starting all over. It's not being saved all over again. It's not thinking I have no hope, but no, not at all. I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. As we get over here further, you're going to see the value of that, what it means that Jesus has gone before us. It'd be like walking into a court of law and seeing that your attorney is also the judge. That may not be a good illustration, but man, to know that the only one that has the right to judge you, the only one is the one who's your advocate. He's your high priest. He's going on your behalf. The only one, the only one that has the right to condemn you is the one who is advocating for you, for your sins to be forgiven, and gave himself for it. That it's perfect sacrifice. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. In fact, all of these chapters lead up to chapter 10. And in chapter 10, we begin to transition to more of the practical theology. But it's saying Jesus is the ultimate answer. His death, his body, is the only thing that could pay for our sin. What a reward, and how good of news is that? I love it. Don't you? Thank you for walking through the book of Hebrews today in the